I didn't really get the time or umption to get anybody to read, so I'm going to read. Okay, the first one is Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And then we're going to go to John 15. So Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 12. John is going to be 1 through 14, chapter 15. Chapter 15. Let me just say this to you ahead of time. I'm going to be saying some things after I read some things that many of you are not going to like. You're not going to hear this. You might even get angry. You might get upset at me. My job is to tell you what Jesus said. In these verses, you're going to note that they are written in red, which means this is Jesus speaking. And I don't know why I get regularly when I say this line, because it's a title of a book. I didn't make it up. Jesus was not a nice guy.
What do you mean? Yes, he was.
Well, that's before you have the facts or really think about it. So I'd like you to pay attention to these scriptures and let's go through it. Matthew 7, verse 12. You've heard this before. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. Get this. And only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn brushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. This verse is going to make you nervous, or it should. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. How many here call Jesus Lord? Oh, you're too scared to raise your hand now. You notice that's capitalized? Lord, Lord. They are calling him who he is, Lord. And he's acknowledging that they are calling him Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who, what's that word? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose up, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Flip over to John 15. John 15. And if you've been in the faith long enough and you've been to our Bible study, you'll know this is the parable of the vine. Once again, it is in red, and it is Jesus speaking, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You got the picture? How many have vines? And I have a lot of crappy vines at my house. I don't have any bears, anything that's any good. But, you know, vines, they just continue to grow. Jesus said, I'm the vine. And who is the gardener? God is the Father. He's the gardener. He's the one, it's his garden. He says here that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So who avoids getting cut? Nobody. So that it will even bear more fruit. It'll even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do, what's it say?
Nothing.
Nothing. What can you do?
Nothing.
Nothing apart from Jesus Christ. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If, there's that big word, you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Do you see a theme here? As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and live and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. What did Jesus do to show his love for you? He took a huge butt whooping and died. And he wants you to love others the same way. That's getting pretty intense. Yeah. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. Read this with me. If you do what I command. If you're a little nervous right now, you should be. May the Lord add a blessing to this, the reading of his word. Kids, you can get out of here. Oh man, D, it looks like you got your hair work cut out for it. We have a lot of people on the prayer list. I got a call last night about 10:30, and it was Howie. Howie's up in Connecticut. He left a message because I was watching a commencement address for my daughter-in-law, and so I thought I'd call him back later, so I did. But he left a message. Yes, this is Howie from Connecticut. Like, I know where you're from, Howie. Only today. Okay. And he said, just call me back. So I did, and he answered, and I started joking with him right away. And he says, well, I got some serious news. I'm like, oh. Now he has to have a hip replacement. Oh. Yeah, so he asked that you pray for him. I said, Howie, Satan's just trying to kill you off, boy. I said, I want you living to do my funeral. So he promised he would. So we're going to put Howie on the prayer list along with everybody else there.
If you have prayer requests, I want you to put them up there on the cross. Take a little pencil and write those. Every Wednesday and Friday mornings, we stand out on the corner and praise Christ by holding signs. How many have seen this out? You're not doing anything, you should be there. You should be joining us. If you're not working or doing something responsible, do something even more responsible, okay? Anybody forget to put something up there? Because you know I'm going to chide you for not doing it. Anybody want to add anything onto the prayer list?
I have to leave next Wednesday to go to New York, so I'm going to miss Sunday, but my 20-year-old daughter, Rihanna, Classic, and our great-granddaughter that's in her womb right now, Gracie Lynn.
I want you to write those down.
Okay.
Put them on the list. Okay. There we go. John, you feel like you want to pray for us? Because I'm doing a lot of talking today, and with a stern mind, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah.
All right.
Pray.
Go ahead.
Lord, we want to take this time to come in the name of Jesus, and we want to thank you, Lord, just for all that you do for us every day, Lord, how your word corrects us and reproves us and helps us get you every single day, Lord, just the way you sustain us, bring us to the next part of our faith, and you awe us in the way that you show us who you are, taking a look around. I pray, Lord, that every heart in here would be open to what the message Casey is going to send forth today, Lord, that we would know, because you are specific. You said if. And a lot of times, Lord, we don't feel like we measure up, but our faith is in you. We just want to say thank you, God, and we just pray, Lord, that our hearts would worship you this morning. Today is a day of worship, so let us come here in awe and stand in awe as your children and just praise your holy name, Lord. And we ask this in your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Ushers. Amen, Dickie says. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings fall. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Help you as much as you helped us. Amen.
I love that. Like Jesus says, when you're tired of walking, you can run a little bit. We actually didn't say that, but you know, it seems like the way it is. I like this song. I picked three songs today that we generally don't know, but I like that. You know, maybe we can just sit and reflect and listen to the words and apply it to our life. Go ahead, Mike. We good?
My feet got me struck down, got me knocked down by the hands of the enemy. Those guys had me held down till I found out that is not my identity. I fought my life when I laid it down, and all my hope is in you. Jesus, I'm learning to let go and let God.
your burden is light. My daily bread and my daily delight. I'm ready to let go and let God. So what do you need to help me? My heart for a new start, cause I've come to the enemy. I'm learning that in your love there's freedom, born for wrecks like me. I'm a laugh when I laid it down. And all my hope is in you, all my faith is in you, Jesus. I'm learning to let go and let God. Show me how to be me. I'm learning to let go and let God. Show me how to be free. I hope you see it's in your burden. It's like my daily bread and my daily delight. I'm learning to let go and let God. So I can be the real me. I've been too long, too long. Fear is calling, chains are breaking. So long, so long. I've been burning too long, too long. Fear is calling, chains are breaking. So long, so long. Let go, let God. Let go, let God. Let go, let God. Let go, let God. I'm learning to let go, let God. Show me how to be me. I'm learning to let go, let God. Show me how to be free. Your yoke is easy, your burden is not my daily bread and my daily life. I'm learning to let go, let God. So you can me. Let go, let God. Let go, let God, let go, let God.
Isn't that good? Yoke is easy. And my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. This is the robe of a traditional rabbi. Came actually from Israel. And when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, what he really was saying, we wouldn't know, and the women know this because they've already been through the study. What they used to say that the yoke of the rabbi was his teaching. And so when you came under the yoke of a teacher, a rabbi, that's what rabbi means, is teacher, you would listen to what he said, and you would do the things he said, and you would become his student until you were old enough and you proved that you had learned. One of the neat things about the robe, or this thing here is called, what, ladies, do you remember what the robe is called? Or what, I mean, what this is called?
That's a tallit.
A what?
Is it a tallit?
No, this is the tallit.
Oh, no, the whole thing.
The whole thing. This is a tallit. This is called a tallit. And the Bible says that when the woman came who had the issue of blood for so long, and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, what she was looking at is touching this. That's what she did, the tallit. Okay. Jesus said, my yoke, what I teach you, is easy and it's light. How many of you find that to not be the case? If you find that there are times when his yoke is not easy, it's really not the problem with his teaching. It's his problem with you. Because you see, like, I had this discussion with somebody. I grew up in a home in Pittsburgh. Everybody in Pittsburgh smoked. Everybody. My mom and dad smoked. My dad had been smoking for years before he got saved, became a pastor. And so, you know, just like every other kid that I hung around with, I was not even quite a teenager yet. And I was smoking. Because my parents did. So let me ask you, who started me smoking?
You did.
No. My parents did. Oh yeah, don't dismiss that. My parents did. Because they didn't do anything to stop me. So I started because it was normal. It was okay. It's just the way it goes. Now here's the problem. Once I started, I'm not bashing new people who smoke. I'm just using this as an example. Once you start and you become addicted to nicotine, quitting is what?
Hard.
Now we all have addictions. And they're all hard to quit. It doesn't matter if it's drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, cookies. They're hard to stop. And so when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he's not saying it and making it hard on you. It's just what you allowed into your life is now such a problem with your flesh, it's hard for you to get under his yoke because you can't release what you've already approved of. Now, you already know me, that I am a teller of truth. This was one of the things that years and years ago when God was calling me into the ministry and I was telling him to just go away and leave me alone, I wanted no part of it. One of the things of the deal was, is that, like, Lord, I have got to be me as far as, I'm not going to turn into some mamby-pamby, just be nice and say good things. I'm not going to do that. And he said, exactly, that's what I want. I want you to tell truth. Most of the time, by the time I tell you the truth, I have already suffered from knowing and learning the truth myself. So I tell people the truth. I've had several occasions over the last month where I've had to have particular talks with people. And so in gathering information or through group conversations or whatever, I get this. Now be nice. Don't be mean. Just be nice. Now, I don't know what makes everybody think I'm a big old meanie, because I'm really not. I mean, I take a whole lot of time in trying to present something in a positive light and trying to win you over to Jesus' way of thinking. I was a very successful salesman. You don't go in and beat somebody up and say, give me your money so I can give you an order for my commission. It's not the way it works. But it's interesting how y'all defend each other. You be nice now. Well, I'm not going to be nice today. I'm going to be truthful. Dickie likes that. I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. It doesn't concern me about what you think about what I say, if it's truth. You know what concerns me? In reading these scriptures and really diving into them, what concerns me is there could be, and there probably are, people in this room who 100 years from now will be burning in the lake of fire. Right underneath the yoke of what Jesus wants you and where he wants you to be. Well, how can you say that? What do you mean by that? What's the cause of that? Why would you be concerned? I thought you said once saved, always saved. And, you know, all we have to do is ask God to forgive us and ask Jesus into our life and we get saved. And, you know, I did that when I was a teenager. I hate to say this, but it is an absolute fact. Over the last 50 years, the church has been sold a complete lie. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you pray a prayer and ask Jesus into your heart that you will be saved forever. It's not there. And I challenge you to go into the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read them. Because when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, His word is what he's trying to get you to know and understand. That's why I say, read. I don't care if you sit down and just fly through it. But when you're getting ready to really learn and study, you're going to learn and study differently than you did your homework. You're going to go and you're going to start reading. You say, Lord, show me what you want me to see. And it's just going to become alive. Because the Bible says the word is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between body and spirit. The Holy Spirit is there teaching us. And if you truly have the Holy Spirit inside of you because you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, He's right there with you. Todd, how much money you got on you?
How much money I have on me?
How much money you got on you?
$300.
$300. I mean, I know Todd always has money with him because he's always prepared. You got $300. How do you know? You counted it yesterday, and you have it on you. So if I ask you, let me see. Just stand up here. I won't touch you. I won't hit you. Just stand up. Let me see. I don't believe you. Stand up there. Okay? See, I'm allowed to pick on him. He's my son-in-law. See, look at this. Look at that. That's a wad. Dickie's eyes are getting big. He says, I've had hospital food far too long. We can go get something good now. I like that he trusts me. He just handed me here again because he knows I can't outrun him.
He knows we can live.
I can count it. I don't count my money and know how much I have at any given time, but I have money, and it wouldn't take me long to sit down and figure out how much I have. I count it. Now, what about fruit? How much fruit do you have? Wait. You told me that you called Jesus Lord. How do I know you're not lying? Am I seeing fruit from you? And I understand that there are times when, you know, I don't want to ding my own bell and I don't want to sound arrogant or anything, but let's go to the next level. What fruit are you showing in your life to your wife, husband, your children, your neighbors, your employer, your employees? What fruit do you think Jesus is going to pull off the tree and say, yeah, that's Todd's. Yeah, that's Todd's. You see, if you are going through life thinking that you said a prayer and it all's right with the world and you do not know what fruit you are producing because of the Holy Spirit's influence on your life, there is a very good chance you will burn in the lake of fire.
I don't like that sermon.
I didn't say it. Did you just not follow along? I specifically asked Mike to put the words up on the screen so you could see that I wasn't making this up.
Better hear it out
later. Boom. You see, with this job comes an extreme responsibility. I said to Jason this week as I was talking, I said, you know, the nice thing about your job is that you have an opportunity I don't. If you come across somebody that you don't care for or who rubs you the wrong way in your landscaping business, you can just say, I'm not going to do the work for you. You can just go ahead and not hire me, and I don't care because I wouldn't work for you anyway. My position, my calling, I don't have that opportunity. And unfortunately, far too many pastors think they do. Whether you like it or not, you are a sheep in the pen of God, and I'm not the shepherd. I work for the shepherd, and I am the sheepdog. And if I don't do my job, the shepherd isn't going to get mad at you as much as he's going to get mad at me. I'd rather you take your own beating. I don't want to take one for you. But that's not why I do it. I do it because I genuinely, 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 genuinely love each and every one of you. This world today is spinning out of control to a point where it is insane. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they said they're just so angry because they look at the news and they see what's going on and it's driving them crazy. I get it. That's why I turned it off. I quit watching. Did you know they have already hired, that the internet companies and especially the cell phone companies have hired psychologists? And there's a whole thing out there that is designed to hook you and your children to never want to let that phone out of your sight. Parents, let me just say this to you. If you hand your child a phone and let them to go off into another room, you are an idiot. Did I say that not nice enough? You are stupid. You know how when you go online and you start doing stuff and it tells you to wait or something flashes up? Especially now, I don't subscribe to these services, but I read that like Instagram and Snapchat and these, they really do it. What they do is they hook you by delaying information or throwing something else up that they've already recorded that interests you. And they do this with children because they want them hooked. You're handing your kids a cell phone? Go away, leave me alone. Don't bother me, I need a little rest. You're the one that needs to be taken to the woodshed. I also read of something that is now let me back up. The information I read on that information comes from 2018. Now, I didn't do a severe, hard study on it, but I did do enough to find out that not much has been said about it since. It's quiet. So for 3 years, this has been going on, and they're not really talking about it anymore because they already got you. Now what's coming up is another thing. How many of you ever heard of the Leave Loud program? The Leave Loud. Anybody hear that? Oh, they're encouraging churches, people in churches, especially certain ethnic churches. If you've been abused, if you haven't been treated well, if you feel like you've been picked on, that you really ought to leave that church and not just walk away like people do, but leave loudly screaming the abuse so that everybody hears what's wrong with your church. Seriously, that's going on right now. It is just new. Let me help you. I will help you out the door. See, I'm far beyond that kind of stuff. We are fighting a fight that is evil. Satanic. Amen. It is a fight between God and Satan, and he has chosen you, man and woman, to be his stand-in. I'm going to tell you, the crazy part about this, and I got to thinking about this week, is that we have this tendency to think that heaven is a vacation. that I just can't wait to get there. Because I've worked so hard here. You know, Casey, I've started teaching Sunday school when I was in sixth grade. Man, all those kids that I touched. And then youth groups and started preaching when I was 12. Man, I got a whole lot of fruit. I'll bet you I'm going to get a nice hacienda up in heaven, huh? The angels are going to look at me and go, ooh, David's going to say, I heard of you. And I just can't wait to get there so I could take my leisure after a long, hard life here on earth. Don't we live like that? We call it reward. That's not what it is. The Bible clearly tells me that when I get to heaven, I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to start in an entry-level position at that work based upon what my reward was here. And for you folks who've been dogging it, who have been bearing fruit, maybe only a little because you have to have fruit to get in, you're going to start at a really low position, like Block Mason assistant. Y'all laugh. How many here have been Block Mason assistants? It's an entry-level job, all right, isn't it? Man, I'll tell you, I thought I was going to die when that happened to me. You just keep bringing those block over here, boy. You'll be all right. Just keep me coming. Oh. You know what the word worship is in Hebrew? The word worship, and I want to make sure I get this right. The word worship in Hebrew is avodah. Avodah. Say it with me. Avodah. That's the word for worship. It's like in the Bible over 250 times in the Old Testament in the Hebrew. And you know what also it means? Work. The two words go hand in hand. Worship and work are the same word. Avodah. Isn't that interesting? Does that already get your brain going like, ooh, wow, that conjures up some stuff. And so we're not feeling good about church. We're not feeling about it. So we want to make sure that we can feel good about church. So we get a band and we put it up there. We darken everything else. We don't pass out hymnals. We use a big old screen. We get a little smoke machine going. And we get all these people going up going, praise you, we lift you up, Jesus, we praise you, we lift you up. And pretty soon you get a whole room full of people doing this. You know what they call that? Worship. They call that worship. You know what I call that? You're old enough, spiritual masturbation. Oh, you didn't like that word? That's exactly what it is. Paula went, what do you say? It's time. Look. Worship is work. God has holy angels, seraphim, that if you were just to look at them like Daniel did, you would almost die. Isaiah saw and he was, oh! They surround the throne of God. And it's not an arrogance, it's just a fact. They proclaim the honor and the glory and the might of God Almighty. You are holy, we praise. You don't need to have somebody like you doing a job that they're doing already. This, oh, we love you, God. We love you, God. Does nothing. Because our worship is to be made up in what? Work. What are you doing to worship God? You think you show up on a Sunday or with friends and you wave back and forth like that and get a nice little good feeling that you're glorifying God? No. No. Nobody else can do what we do. God created you to partner with Him, and He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and He told them to work it, right? Work it. Interesting thing is after they ate the fruit and they stopped from being perfect and they were sinful, he still told them, you got to work. But now he made it even harder because now we're going to have thorn bushes and sweat and a cranky woman behind us. Isn't that right, Dan? I just wanted to remind Diane. I just wanted to remind Diane that I ain't scared, okay? Look, Adam and Eve together form one being. Together, they come together because both of them alone can't do it. You come together, you form one unit, and you are spiritually united, and you then can properly worship, work for God. And then, lo and behold, you have kids. Wow. Oh, man, now I'm trapped for another 18 years. Oh, boy. Get a break. No. That's an honor. That's what you're to do. You work. You raise them to glorify God, and that's what's wrong with the world. But people don't do that anymore. I told all my kids, if my grandkids grow up and have problems with drug and alcohol, I am going to beat you insensible. Pure and simple. Because they pattern themselves after you. They'll do what you do. You don't show up in church? Do you know the statistics of that? 80% of the kids who grow up in church, who later on their parents don't go regularly, will drop out because you didn't show them how important it is. You don't like that statistic? It's fact. We are at war. We are at spiritual war. Look, God came into my life and I recognize that I am a sinner and that I deserve the punishment in the lake of fire based not just on what I did and what I do, but because I just happen to be a human being with human blood running through me. It's inherited. There's no way and there's no hope for me. None. When I recognize that, I realize there's no way I can get to heaven on my own. I need a Savior. And God so loved me, along with the world, that He gave His only Son. That if I would just put my faith in Him, I will have eternal life. Do you understand that? Unfortunately, we have Disney faith. You know what Disney faith is? Disney faith just says, just believe. Just believe. Jiminy Cricket, you know? That's not what the faith word is. Just like with Jesus when he talks about working that avodah. Faith in the New Testament is this. You see, I realize and believe that this chair can hold me up, but until I actually sat in it, I am not exercising my faith. Too many people out there have faith that there's a God. Hey, are you kidding me? The demons believe there's a God. They know who Jesus Christ is. They know He's the Son of God, and the Bible says they shudder. Are you bearing fruit? Has God come into your life because you asked Him to forgive you for your sin and come into your life, kill you, your old self, and then pour His life into you and give you everything that He is for everything that you were? I don't understand. It's the stupidest exchange in the world. I think sometimes God's nuts. You know, you heard me say a long time ago that one of those old-time singers say, just because God loves you doesn't mean nothing. He loves everybody. That just means He ain't picky. So what I'm saying is this, you have been called for a reason. You have been saved for a reason. He comes into your life. Now He wants you to trust Him and let Him live His life through you. You got that? That making sense? So every day, I set my alarm. I've been doing this forever, not ever, for a decade, you know. I set my alarm and I have an appointment with the Lord of the universe. When I sit down with his word, I open up my phone and I subscribe to at least 8 devotionals. My wife sends me more. She has at least 8 more, probably like 10. Randy sends me stuff. We swap it around. I pass it on. All day long, I have my radio presets set to a radio station that is pumping Christian music and teaching into my head. Why? Because this is about growing and learning and learning and growing, because Satan is just waiting to trip me up and let something into my life. Look, if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, God is inside you, and you truly are redeemed and saved, and if you go out into the world and you're doing stuff with the world and you like it, you are in trouble. If you're G-O-D, like Mike said this morning, out there, if your G-O-D is a group of drunks, you're in trouble. If what you are doing through the week or on your entertainment night, Friday, Saturday, whatever, and Jesus were to walk in the middle of what you and your friends were doing, and you would feel absolutely comfortable to have him sit down, take a seat, and do what you're doing, good. But if not, you better stop. And I mean now. Because Jesus says your fruit is what gets you in. Doing what he says. Not just faith. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. If I were to be late, let's suppose I just came walking into the church right now, you all sat here and you hadn't got up and left yet, and I come in and went, oh man, I am so sorry, church. I'm so sorry. I was on my way here, and as I was coming home down 41, going about 55 miles an hour, all of a sudden the light on my dash came on, and I thought I better stop and just check it out. So while I'm checking it out, I opened up my door, and something fell out, and it blew out into the road, and I jumped out into the road to fetch it because I don't want to be a letter bug, and a huge, fully loaded 15-ton semi hit me, and that's why I'm late. What would you say? Liar, liar, pants on fire. There's no way that a 15-ton semi can hit me running me over 55 miles an hour and me not be physically changed. Now, which do you think is more powerful and bigger, a semi or God? If I don't see a change in you, if we don't see changes in you for the good and it's progressive, there is a good chance that indeed you will be burning in the lake of fire. I didn't say it, Jesus did. And if you have a problem, and yet you're not relying on other people to help you because you may need help, because you may be in over your head, or you're not calling me. That's my job, man. You don't bother me ever. It's not a job. It's an adventure. Look, I would like you to sit down and write a list of do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Do it under the guise of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'd like you to bring to my remembrance, and I would like you to help me with this list of do's and don'ts. And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm not talking about all the 613 commandments. I'm talking about you personally. Sit down and write, Lord, this is what I am going to do because I am yours. And Lord, these are the things that I won't do because I'm yours. Now, I don't want Brett, you know, I know how vociferous you are. It's a big word. You don't even know what it means. But I don't really want you to go so overboard that you write a book. But how about just start with some main ones? I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up every morning. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to set my stations. I'm going to pay attention all day. And I'm going to ask God to continue to show me more stuff so I can learn. Because his yoke is easy once you get rid of the old you. It's fun, too. I had a talk yesterday with my buddy Austin. He told me that he went out and bought a boat. I said, what? Yeah, I bought a boat. Really? Your wife's pregnant. You're with your third kid. Yeah. Why did you buy a boat? Well, she chips in and she says, well, he told me that if we had a boat, that he would be able to spend more time with the kids and he would go out there with them and show them how to fish. And I said, you have been played. Because you don't get a boat and step up. You step up, then God gives you a boat. And even then, only if you have time for the boat. I don't have time for a boat. When it's all said and done, Austin said, well, I'm not going to be in church tomorrow because I have to go to do some work because I have to pay for the boat. I went, what'd you say? God is going to use that boat to destroy you. Because he's not interested in partnering with you. He wants you dead. He wants his son living him. Because he loves Jesus. He doesn't love anything else. He just loves Jesus. And he loves Jesus when Jesus is in you. That's why he loves you. So you better get Jesus in there. Because it's not hard. But everything comes with a reward. As a man and a wife love one another through Christ. They love one another. They honor one another. They serve one another. They're doing work. They're having children. They're growing. And that's its own reward. People say, you know, it's boring. It's so hard. It's so tough. You know what? I want to be able to have some fun. Which of the commandments are in your way? All of them are in your way. In other words, you want to go out and commit adultery. Is that what you want to do, James? Better shut up right there. You're in big trouble. See, the only problem with committing adultery, let's go ahead and use that one, is that you may fall in love with the girl you're with. And then you don't want the woman anymore, your wife. Or worse, she falls in love with somebody else, no one you. See what I'm saying? What's in your way? There's nothing there that, if it were taken away from you, that you should be missing. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I love going home. I love spending time with my wife. I love being with her. She fascinates me in how she learns and she shares in her directives and ways that she's growing. I've spoken enough. I've gone way overboard. Where are you going to spend your days? Where are you going to spend eternity? Look, if you're doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, you better stop. Because that's proof right there that you're on the edge. Confirm that. Make your list. See you on, ladies, tomorrow night. Wednesday, we'll see you here. Saturday, we'll see you at Perkins, men. And Sunday, here again. Well, that's a lot of church. No, that's a lot of Jesus, baby. That's a lot of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you. We worship you. When you come inside of me and I know you are there and you touch me and you let me know that I am royalty, because I am yours. The angels are in awe. Dickie sits back there. He can't walk. He can't really talk. Can't do hardly anything for himself. But demons fear him. Lord, when we get to glory, we are going to be fascinated or extremely disappointed by what we sent ahead. Help us today learn how to be smarter, sharper. Be here to learn more of your son in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope I stepped on your toes. Let's do this last song. It's a good one.
Girl, by the things you try to take places. life hurts so bad, still it's your hope.
Jesus is more fun than your sin.